From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we draw to Thee today. We're thankful today that we can come to Thee. We thank Thee, O God, today that Thou art God and beside Thee there is none other. We praise Thee, Lord, today for the approach and the access that we have to Thee in prayer. We come, Lord, to Thee through the work, the finished atoning work of Christ, Thy precious Son, our Saviour. We thank Thee, O God, that there on the cross He cried out, finished. The plan of redemption has been accomplished. And we thank Thee, O God, today for that new and that living way that we can approach unto Thee. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the One who gave His life for us there, a ransom on the cross. We thank Thee, O God, for that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. We thank Thee, O Lord, today that there is power in the blood of Thy dear Son to cleanse us and to keep on cleansing us from sin. We rejoice, O God, in the power of the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for the message that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And we pray, O God, today that as thy word is brought, as the gospel message is declared this day, we pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to speak and use thine own word. Remember especially thy servant, the Reverend Park, as he would come and open the scriptures of truth to us today. Oh, we cry unto thee today for hearts that are open and ready to receive the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for any who may be here without Christ. We pray, Lord, you'll open their hearts. We pray, Lord, that this day salvation will come. So hear, answer prayer, continue on with us, go with us, and bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the book of Acts and the chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we will read from the verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll conclude our reading there at verse 21, and we pray God will add a blessing to the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll join together in the singing of our next hymn, I've Wandered Far Away from God.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here and again have this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. Returning to this passage of God's Word in Acts chapter 20, and I want to preach on faith and repentance, the two great pillars of the gospel. And our text is verse 21 of Acts chapter 20. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has been committed unto faithful men. We are to preach it, we are to defend it. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that Christ has died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The gospel centers around a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus Christ alone can save men from their sin. And he said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But in order for this gospel to be received into the hearts and lives of men, there are two great pillars of which the apostle speaks, faith and repentance. How do sinners enter into the kingdom of God? They do so by faith and repentance. It is the message that Jesus preached as he went around the towns and the villages of Galilee. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel. And here is the sum and the substance of Christ's whole teaching, indeed the Alpha and the Omega of his entire ministry. God commands us to do these things. And when Jesus says, repent ye and believe the gospel, he was not making a suggestion. He was not merely giving advice. It was a command. As Paul preached in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These were not mere proposals. They were commands for the spiritual and eternal well-being of the soul. And so the message was simple. If you do not repent and believe, you will perish. You will go to hell. But there's a problem here. We cannot obey these commands in our own strength. We have not the ability to repent of our sin and believe the gospel. And yet without repentance and faith, we will perish. This doesn't make sense, you say. How could God command me to do something that I am unable to perform? Only by divine enablement. He gives us the power. He gives us the grace. In fact, these are gifts from God. This is the biblical way of salvation as it was preached by Christ and by the apostles and by the reformers and the Puritans. We are commanded to repent and believe. These two are inseparably connected to each other. They always go together in a true work of grace. You cannot have one without the other. True repentance springs from a sight and a sense of sin. We come to see the horridness of sin and how it offends a holy God, and the result is godly sorrow over sin. However, it doesn't stop there. True evangelical repentance also brings us to see the mercy of God in Christ, the answer to our sin. God is righteous and holy, but he's also merciful and gracious. And therefore, we flee to Christ. How do we do this? We do it by faith. We see Christ on the cross, whom we have pierced with our sins, and we fly to him with all haste. Now, the question has often been asked, which comes first in our experience? Is it faith or is it repentance? And that's a very difficult question to answer. Likely, they are simultaneous. They come at the same moment. There cannot be repentance without faith, and there cannot be true faith without repentance. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon, he called these Siamese twins. Faith always walks side by side with his weeping sister, repentance. It's probably better to say that faith precedes repentance, not in point of time, but in order of nature. Here we are, hell-deserving sinners, and God comes to us and he commands us to repent. Instead of coming to us with flames of fire to consume, he extends a hand of friendship. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And this means that the greatest sinner is welcome to come to Christ in order to be washed in his blood. But how do I come? I come by faith. In Acts chapter 20, Paul has called the elders from Ephesus together. It is his farewell to them as he sets off towards Rome, never to come back to that area again, never to minister among these people again. And he reminds them of the time when he spent, or that time that he spent with them on his third missionary journey for a 3-year period, how he served the Lord with humility of mind and many tears and temptations. Indeed, he said, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Oh, the compassion of Paul. He felt for poor sinners. He longed to see them saved, as we should. Paul was a faithful man. He discharged his duty as a gospel preacher without fear or favor, and he calls upon these men to verify this. And as he preached to the Jew and to the Gentile alike, he presented these two great pillars of the gospel, faith and repentance. And I want to look at these two great pillars with you just for a little time. First of all, we have faith, the first pillar. Faith is believing. It is trusting. It is receiving. "As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It is not faith in oneself. It is not faith in a set of rules. It is not faith in a church or in a religion, but in a person. In the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the whole gospel centers around him. The one who left the splendor of heaven and came down into this old world in the incarnation when he was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole eternal purpose of God in Christ coming into this world was redemption, to save a people from their sins. And we must believe. We must believe who Jesus is. And we must believe what Jesus did. We must believe who he is. He is God. We believe in the full deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is God manifested in human flesh. We believe in his eternal existence. He didn't begin at Bethlehem, but he was eternally with the Father without beginning of days and end of life. We must believe in his virgin birth, that he came into this world through the vehicle of the Virgin Mary. We must believe in his impeccable life. Jesus Christ did no sin. He could do no sin. In him was no sin. And we must believe in his vicarious death, that he took our place and he died for us. And that brings us to not only consider who he is, but what Christ did. Our blessed Savior came to provide eternal redemption. Evangelical saving faith is fixing your eye upon the great substitute for sin. Jesus Christ lived for us, and Jesus Christ died for us. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. The Bible teaches plainly that there is no other way of salvation apart from Christ, and we receive him by faith. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, in the story of Nicodemus, Jesus not only declared the subject of the new birth and the cross upon which he would die and God's great eternal love towards the fallen world, but he set before Nicodemus the necessity of faith. You read John chapter 3 and Mark verse 15, 16 and 18, and it's all speaking about faith in Christ. Have you believed? Have you exercised faith in him? It's the first great pillar of the gospel. The second great pillar is that of repentance. Old General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, who lived over 100 years ago, he warned that a time would come when churches would preach religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and heaven without hell. You cannot be saved without repentance, without turning from your sin. The Apostle Paul preached it. Repentance toward God. Jesus preached it, as we have seen. He said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." He said, "I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." He also told his disciples in those days of the resurrection, as he set before them the great commission, going into the world and preaching the gospel, he said that the message would be repentance and remission of sins, that it should be preached in his name among all nations. You see, Jesus Christ does not save us in our sin. He saves us from our sins. So sin must be forsaken. You cannot hold onto Jesus Christ and salvation and have your sins at the same time. Godly sorrow produces repentance in the heart. And so when God by the Spirit moves in a man's being, there is conviction. He feels a sin. And there is contrition. He is sorrowful over his sin. But there is also a casting away of sin, a forsaking of sin. Biblical repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, a change indeed of behavior and direction. The great American evangelist Billy Sunday once illustrated repentance by doing a backward flip in the pulpit. So don't expect me to do that with you today. I can't do it physically, but it's exactly right. It's an illustration of repentance. It's turning right around. Thereafter, we live in obedience to Christ. We die to sin, we die to self, and we live unto righteousness. So there are these fruits of repentance. You say, "I know I have to repent, and I know that I have to believe, but how can I do that? Can I come to Jesus Christ just the way that I am?" You remember the story of the three lepers at the gate of Samaria. They were sitting there without food to eat, and at last the hunger pangs got so bad that one of them said, "Let us go to the camp of the Syrians. If they kill us, we shall but die. But if they save us alive, we shall live. But if we stay here, we're lost for sure." And so they went. And you know the marvelous outcome and the great provision that there was for them. You'll learn from these lepers. Go to Jesus just as you are and say, "Lord, here I come, a lost sinner, without anything to recommend me to thee. Have mercy upon my soul. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling." And if you do that, we can say hallelujah. He will not turn you away. He has bidden you to repent and to believe. He has commanded you to come to him that you might have salvation. And he promises in his word, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." These are the two great pillars of the gospel. As we have it here in the words of the great apostle himself, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, have you repented of your sin and by faith laid hold upon the Lamb of God, the Savior of men, that you might have your sins forgiven? I trust that you'll seek the Lord. You'll seek the Lord while he may be found, and you'll call upon him while he's near. Let us bow together in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast committed unto men the message of the gospel. And we have the solemn responsibility to preach Your word, to preach this gospel, and to defend the gospel. We do bless Thee that it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Lord, we praise Thee that we come just as we are. We pray that Thou will give these gifts of faith and repentance to men as they have listened to Your word today, as they have beheld, as it were, the very Lamb of God that can take away their sin. Lord, grant them repentance that they might turn from their sin, and grant them faith that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Thee for all He came to do. We thank Thee that the work that He did was a finished work. We thank Thee for that victorious cry upon the cross, "It is finished." And there's nothing for the sinner to do but to enter in and to receive Christ as their Savior. Bless Your word. We pray that God will be glorified, that Christ will be honored, and that sinners will be irresistibly drawn in grace to Christ, because we ask all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.